Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. Thanks a lot for checking in with us on this Monday, January 17, 2022. It's a victory Monday after the Chiefs eliminate the Pittsburgh Steelers and end the career of Ben Roethlisberger. Last night, 42-21 at Arrowhead Stadium. It was a first quarter to forget, and then three quarters to remember, as the Chiefs down 7-0, then went ham on the Pittsburgh Steelers and pull away and end up with a 42-21 victory. Patrick Mahomes, 30 of 39 for 404 yards, five touchdown passes, and the one interception. As you heard Travis Kelce talking about his touchdown pass with his mom, he was 1 of 1, 2 yards, touchdown. So
that is awesome.
Chiefs threw six touchdown passes against the Steelers last night. And Travis Kelce also had five catches for 108 yards, along with another touchdown. And then one of the stars of the game, Jerick McKinnon, steps in as Darrell Williams was not 100%. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was not available. And Jerick McKinnon runs the ball 12 times for 61 yards, averages 5.1 yards per carry, and also has six catches for 81 yards. Along with the touchdown catch. And so well over 100 yards, 142 yards from scrimmage and a touchdown for Jerick McKinnon. And I saw lots of people, well, a few people at least, that were up in St. Joe covering the team in training camp. That and look, Matt Derrick was one of them. That highly complimentary of Jerick McKinnon and how he looked in training camp. We talked a lot about it, and I told you guys that I thought that was one of the under-the-radar signings in the offseason, and the way he looked in training camp. He seemed to be a perfect fit for this offense as a third-down style back and a guy that could give you quality depth, who could be a really good receiver out of the backfield. And it really, we saw glimpses, but one of the stories of Jerick McKinnon's career is he's been a human highlight reel when he's been healthy, but he hasn't always been healthy. And he was terrific when he was with the Minnesota Vikings. He had some moments last year with the San Francisco 49ers, and he's been on the IR. And so one thing you could say, he's got fresh legs going into the playoffs, and that looks like that's going to be a really, really interesting factor moving forward for the Chiefs in the postseason. Is how they play their running backs, because Jerick McKinnon deserves another start. Jerick McKinnon deserves more touches. Jerick McKinnon looks like the type of running back that the Chiefs thought they were getting when they drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first round. Jerick McKinnon is explosive. He shows explosiveness, something that Clyde has lacked, especially this year. Jerick McKinnon, look, Darrell Williams has been solid when he's had a chance to get touches. Derek Gore's had his moments. Clyde here and there he's looked okay, but especially as a receiver, there was something. And I don't think there's any argument there. What he offered last night, and you saw it in the run game as well. He just has a certain explosiveness where he can make one or two guys miss and turn what might be a 5-yard gain into a 15-yard gain. I love what I saw from Jerick McKinnon. That's a lot what I saw up in training camp. It didn't come to fruition in the regular season, but here we are in the postseason. Can he turn in a Damian Williams-type postseason effort? Who knows? Is he the type of running back that could truly unlock the full potential of this offense? That's on the table right now. The Steelers have a terrible run defense. There's no doubt about that. But the Chiefs sure found something throwing the football to Jerick McKinnon again. Six catches for 81 yards. And when the Chiefs were in trouble early on, And yeah, they were, you know, you call them, they're down 7-0. And if you listen to the show, I reminded people of this last week. This is kind of the way the Chiefs have gone in the playoffs. What did I say? Come out, they struggle in the first quarter, they get behind, everyone's wondering what the hell's going on, why does this team look flat, why are they behind to an inferior team? Then they flip the switch, and it's over. And what was everyone thinking? I know it's everything feels great now, because they put up 42 points, right? But after one quarter, did you think they looked sharp? Did you think they were on the way to 42 points? No. And then they were down 7-0. And so what were some of the other things we talked about? Well, if they turn the football over, if they make you know, mental mistakes, if they're not sharp, if they're not playing crisp football, then they can leave the Steelers in it and let them hang around. And I thought that early on it would be a little bit of an ugly game, but then eventually the Chiefs would pull away and win by double digits. Early on, it was an ugly game. Then the Chiefs pulled away. I thought the pull away wouldn't happen until the third quarter, but it kind of reminded you, even though they weren't down 24-0, but when the Chiefs turned it on against the Texans in the second quarter and just went crazy. And the Chiefs' offense looked bad in the first quarter. The defense looked terrific. The defense was just terrific in the first half. Unbelievable. And again, it was no surprise, that version of Ben Roethlisberger is horrible. He's done now, but that was a bad, bad quarterback. His numbers got some lipstick put on him in the second half, and they look a lot better. But my God, when that game was actually competitive in the first quarter, in the first half, he was god-awful. If that wasn't Ben Roethlisberger playing his last game in the NFL, they should have benched him. They should have pulled him. He couldn't complete a pass. He was throwing arm punts. And that's nothing to take away. That's not to take away from what the Chiefs did. But, I mean, when you were watching him, it was like, good God, man. Who is this guy? He looked even worse than he did when they lost 36-10 a couple of weeks ago. But I'm here for it. But that was no surprise. But still, that quarterback was playing that bad, and it's the second quarter, and the Steelers are up 7-0. And you're like, how in the hell, with the defense playing this well and that quarterback playing so poorly, how are the Chiefs down 7-0? Credit the Steelers' defense. Early on, they came to play. But when the switch got flipped, the Chiefs put it on Pittsburgh. And it was over. I mean, they to be honest with you, they ended that game by halftime. I know the Steelers came back and won 21 points, but that's after there was some kind of give by the Chiefs defense, and that was and some defensive starters were out of the game, or they would not have reached the score of 21. But we were watching that game where they get, okay, it's 7-7, hopefully the Chiefs can score. About four and a half minutes left when they took the football over. Okay, go into 4-minute offense, get a touchdown or a field goal here, score, go to halftime, come back out, you get the ball to start the second half, score again, and this game might be 21-7 in the third quarter and it's over. They scored, gave the Steelers the ball back, stopped them, got the ball again, and threw that long touchdown pass to Kelsey. They got it to 21-7 before halftime, and then they came out, got the ball 28-7. Then it was really over. But it was over. You could read the body language. It was, I mean, they got hit with a 5 or 6 punch combination, and they never recovered. It was over at halftime. And Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelsey and Jerick McKinnon and Tyreek Hill and DeMarcus Robinson and Mecole Hardman and Byron Pringle, they put on a show. They put on a show. And so that's what you expected from the Chiefs after a very below-average first quarter. The Chiefs absolutely overwhelmed the Steelers. And there's not many teams that can do that. They can look so bad for a quarter and just hit the switch and look like the best team in football. That was a tremendous performance all the way around. And now the Chiefs move on to the divisional round to take on the other team that looked absolutely unbelievable, the Buffalo Bills. And I've been pretty consistent, and I've told you that I think the only team that could beat the Chiefs in the postseason in the AFC is the Buffalo Bills. That's the team that concerns me. I think the Chiefs will win on Sunday. Kickoff 5:30 at Arrowhead Stadium. But I think it's going to be a heavyweight brawl. I think it's going to be a slugfest. I think it's going to be a tremendous matchup between two of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And I think that the Buffalo Bills defense, we don't talk about their defense in the headlines. We always talk about Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, and with good reason. But, I mean, statistically, that's the number one defense in the NFL. And the Chiefs last night played like a top-flight defense. And even things out, maybe just, you know, going to Buffalo, Buffalo, would be three-point favorites. It's at Arrowhead. Or, you know, I don't know. What would you think it would be with Buffalo? Would Buffalo be favored by a couple? Would it be even? The Chiefs are favored by three at Arrowhead. And usually what's home field advantage worth? Three? You think it would be? I think Buffalo would be favored by one or two if it was up in Buffalo.
I think you'd just flip it.
Yeah.
I think Bills would be three.
But the Chiefs opened up as a three-point favorite against this Buffalo Bills team that, and I know this isn't your dad's New England Patriots, whatever you want to call it. It's, you know, this is not the Patriots that have been so dominant, but it was still a quality defense with one of the best defensive minds in football at the helm, and they got embarrassed by the Buffalo Bills offense. I don't know how many people kept watching that because they, to be honest, it was unwatchable unless you're a Buffalo Bills fan. That was non-competitive. But they pretty much pitched what is considered a perfect game offensively. I mean, they never got stopped. Did you have that? Did you see that coming? That they would absolutely destroy a Bill Belichick-led defense? No. No. Now, they hate the Patriots the way we hate the Broncos and the Raiders and everything else, so there's clearly something personal there, but they were offensive perfection. And you think about the way that offense looked on Saturday night and the way the Chiefs offense looked in the second and third quarters, and you're going to put those two teams on the field in a divisional playoff game, the last game of the weekend next week. Again, like I said, kickoff 5:30 on Sunday. Can you imagine? It doesn't always work out that way, right? But you got the storyline of it being a rematch of the AFC Championship game from last year, a rematch from a game where Buffalo came into Arrowhead and really embarrassed the Chiefs, beat the Chiefs, and it felt like at the time, or at least that's what was being pushed by the, you know, NFL media as a passing of the torch. Now Buffalo's the team. And Buffalo, since that game, was wildly inconsistent the rest of the regular season. But so what? This is the postseason. We've seen that happen before. We've seen teams have so hell that the Chiefs were wildly inconsistent to start the season. Right? We've seen this before. A team can put everything together in the postseason and go on a run. Hell, the Chiefs have done it. But man, and I know we should never wish days away and enjoy this week, but I cannot wait for that game on Sunday at 5:30. And it may turn out to not be the most entertaining game. But on paper, I don't see how you could ask for anything else. And I truly believe whoever wins that game is going to the Super Bowl. Whoever wins that game is going to beat Cincinnati or Tennessee. And I hate when people say this is the AFC Championship. It's not. It's a divisional playoffs. But I say who wins this game, whoever wins this showdown between Buffalo and Kansas City, is headed to the Super Bowl. After what I saw from Buffalo on Saturday, well, I thought that last week, and so I sure as hell didn't see anything this weekend that changes my mind about that. Those are the two best teams in the AFC. All apologies to the Tennessee Titans. Two best teams in the AFC are the Chiefs and the Bills, and they're going to show down on Sunday, 5:30 at Arrowhead Stadium.
You'll be waiting all week for Sunday night.
42-21, the Chiefs get it done over the Steelers. Patrick Mahomes throws for 404 yards and 5 touchdowns. And don't take that for granted. Listen to what I just said. This man threw for over 400 yards and 5 touchdowns.
That is awesome.
Against what used to be the boogeyman. Nobody wanted to play the Steelers. It's called like it is. Back in the day, several years ago, the Chiefs used to get intimidated by the Steelers and out-physicaled by the Steelers. You remember that last time they played in the playoffs? They lost 18-16. I want you to remember it. Remember that bitter taste, that bad feeling, because that game is what forced the Chiefs' hand and made them draft Patrick Mahomes. And there was something beautiful about that. For Ben Roethlisberger's last game, it came full circle. And say, remember that how you beat us 18-16? You made us do this. And now this is what we got. And now he's going to put it on your ass. 404 yards and 5 touchdowns. Ben, good night. Leave the NFL. Your ass just got beat in your final game in an embarrassing fashion. And it made many people, including myself, very, very happy to see that. That was wonderful. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.
Roethlisberger's in the gun, wearing black gloves on both hands. He's at his own 30 with the first and 10. It's a low shotgun snap and a little pass thrown laterally in the backfield. And caught by the running back. Harris at the 25. Runs on the near side. Hit the ball, jog free. It's loose. It's a fumble. And the Chiefs have fallen on the ball. And the Chiefs have gotten the fumble by Najee Harris, who has not fumbled all season long. He had the longest streak of over 390 touches, and that is his first fumble of the season coming for the rookie out of Alabama in a playoff game, and the Chiefs are going to have it at the 29 of Pittsburgh.
I told Phil St. John as soon as they showed that graphic during the game about how he hadn't fumbled all year long, over 390 touches. I said, he's fumbling tonight. They just jinxed him. And the game was already decided, but he still fumbled. I think that's funny. Here's some facts about the Buffalo Bills and what they did to the Patriots and what the Chiefs will be facing on Sunday. The Bills are the first team in the Super Bowl era to score a touchdown on each of the first 5 drives of a playoff game. They ended up with a 108.1% offensive DVOA for the night, which is the second best offensive game ever since they tracked this since 1983 behind the 2018 Chiefs Week 9 against the Cleveland Browns. The Bills are the first team in NFL history with no punts, field goals, or turnovers in a game. A first ever perfect offensive game. No punts, no picks, no fumbles lost, no field goals, all touchdowns in every single drive until the kneel downs against a top 5 defense led by the greatest coach in NFL history. Think about that for a minute. Josh Allen recorded a 98.5 total QBR. That's the best postseason QBR game in the metrics history since 2006. Previous record was Tom Brady's 98 against the Jags in the 2007 divisional round. And that's what the Chiefs are facing on Sunday. And there's something powerful about that because a lot of people are going to spin it that the Chiefs don't have a chance against the Bills. Because the Bills beat the Chiefs earlier this season, and the Bills just had a perfect offensive game. And maybe somehow, despite putting up 42 points and being the two-time defending AFC champs, the Chiefs can play the underdog card at home. Because I'm telling you, I'm pretty sure that most of the NFL talking heads are going to pick Buffalo. And that's what we're going to hear all week long. How Buffalo is going to knock the Chiefs off, and this is going to be the passing of the torch in the AFC. Good. Let him say that. Let it work for the Chiefs, right? The Chiefs, I mean, damn. And I knew they were going to win this game. I think we all felt really great about them winning this game, but my God, how good did they look once they turned on the gas, baby, and started cooking? Chris Jones' helmet hit him in the eye, if you're wondering how he was and why he was out of the game. And they say no significant injury, so that was scary for a moment while he was out. Patrick Mahomes, no quarterback in NFL history has more games with 400 passing yards and 5 passing touchdowns than Patrick Mahomes. After he did that last night, so regular season and playoffs, that's his 4th game of at least 400 yards and at least 5 touchdown passes. Joe Montana had 3 of them in 187 career starts. Dan Marino had 3 of them in 258 career starts. Peyton Manning had 3 of them in 292 career starts. Patrick Mahomes has 4 of them in 72 career starts. And he's the second player to do that in the playoffs. First one, Ben Roethlisberger. Last night, the Chiefs had a running back catch a touchdown pass, a wide receiver catch a touchdown pass, a tight end catch a touchdown pass, an offensive lineman catch a touchdown pass, and a tight end throw a touchdown pass. No other team in NFL history has done all those things in the same game, in the same season, let alone the same game. No other team's done all that in one season. The Chiefs did it in a game last night. Next Sunday's AFC Divisional Showdown between Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes be the first playoff game in NFL history between quarterbacks who each threw at least 5 touchdown passes in their previous playoff game. You're even saying wow! And you can be a rump sometimes.
Nah, anytime it's I got the first a wow time out ever of you. Of anything. That's big. Wow.
Take a picture of you. Same. When you look wowed.
Wow.
That's a wow that wow. Dave Armstrong would be proud of.
Wow.
Say it and do it again. No flame. Wow, I got you. What about you, young Timothy Foo?
Well, the another stat I saw from NFL last night was that Patrick Mahomes' 5 touchdowns came in 10.5 minutes, which is by far the fastest that any quarterback has ever thrown.
That's hilarious.
Game time.
Yeah, 10.5 minutes of game time. The closest ever was Tom Brady in 25 minutes. So, I mean, twice as fast. More than twice as fast as any quarterback ever.
Patrick Mahomes threw 5 passing touchdowns in a span of 10 minutes and 30 seconds of game time. Fastest span in NFL postseason history. The next fastest, Tom Brady did it in under 25 minutes in 2011.
That's amazing. It was funny because some of my buddies were texting back and forth all weekend long about what they thought of the betting lines on all the games. And when the Chiefs got off to the start that they did, one of my buddies texted, well, 12.5 is a lot against a Mike Tomlin team. That was probably always a little crazy. And then, like, within, like, 3 minutes, the Chiefs had already covered the spread. It was crazy. Yeah, I mean, that happened so fast.
Travis Kelce is the first player in NFL history to throw a touchdown, catch a touchdown, and have 100-plus receiving yards in a single playoff game.
That Allegretti celebration was just joyous.
Mahomes said after the game he was the 5th option on that play?
Yeah.
and look, I hate to do this. Because I said I respected the job that he did down the stretch. This is a fact I think Jake will appreciate. Travis Kelce now tied for 158th most touchdown passes in the playoffs in the Super Bowl era. He's now tied with Derek Carr. So. I'm sorry. That's not a cheap shot at the Raiders. It's just it's a fact. It's like I'm not making that up. They're tied. At some point, Carr might pull ahead. I don't know. How do I know? I can't tell you. Maybe Kelce throws another one next week.
Also, Connor Cook and 45 others.
But that's not as fun. See, now you just pooped all over my fun stat.
I didn't
now.
Poop on anything. Just completed it.
Derek Carr and Kelce are tied. I don't know who's going to break the tie. I can't predict those things. It's up in the air. Maybe Kelce, maybe
and maybe they Carr. Stay tied forever.
Right. No, I think Kelce will get another one at some point.
I mean, with that kind of pass, that was a good pass.
And let me tell you, people were mad. I was like, oh, they wasted that one. Why didn't they save that one? Well, How about that formation again next time they throw it to Mahomes? Because he was open. Put it on film. It's another thing Buffalo's got to worry about. Back after this on WHB.
Yeah, I mean, we gotta start faster. We got to be able to move the ball early on. Our defense did a great job the entire first half of not giving up any points, not really giving up any first downs or anything. And it's just, you know, as an offense, we got to be able to capitalize and make sure that we're putting up points early to just, you know, make sure that we give ourselves a chance at the end. But we got it rolling. And I think in years, the earlier years, the growing and just earning that confidence year in, year out. It's never a doubt on the sideline that we can do it.
You know, the interception off the tip pass was Mahomes' first of his career in 7 home playoff starts. I like it. Mahomes is the first player to throw for at least 200 yards and 3 touchdowns in the opening half of a playoff game since who? If you didn't see it, you'll never get it. Never. Never. You'd have to see it because you'd never guess it. But it'll be a oh moment. Nate will go, oh,
huh.
No, it'll be a huh. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
You want to guess?
No.
Alex Smith in the 2013 wild card game against the Colts.
Wow. That was a...
Is that wow? Is that a wow?
Wow.
It wasn't a Dave Armstrong wow, but you, right?
Huh.
Would you guess? Yeah, see? Would you guess that now?
That's a painful memory game.
Yeah. Huh. Pain right in my ass.
Wow.
I don't remember it.
You probably really don't. Mahomes has thrown 5 touchdown passes in a playoff game for the second time in his career. Name the other 2 quarterbacks in NFL history to have multiple playoff games with at least 5 touchdown passes.
Peyton Manning.
No.
Aaron Rodgers.
No.
Tom Brady.
No.
Daryl LaMonica.
See, you saw it. You would not
I
have
saw that
said.
Somewhere.
Because you are, you know what? You don't even lie well. No, you just like, yeah, 3 off. Daryl LaMonica, like, that was your next guess. You liar.
I saw his name in some stat on TV last night.
Oh, he did try. He tried. He hit it because.
I don't remember what stat I saw it in, but I saw his name in something.
That's like such a nat. You know, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Daryl LaMonica.
Third guess.
Well, I didn't know if that was. I saw his stat.
I like the way he did it. He, like, 3 other names, hey, so just maybe
the obvious
think,
ones.
Well, that's the other one I was thinking of. Well, who's the other one? They made a movie about him that I've never seen. Kurt Warner. Will you ever see that movie?
No.
Okay.
Gary went and thought.
Not on purpose.
Yeah,
anyway.
Gary
you
like thought it? About it. I don't know. It seems like a movie Gary would like.
Why? Because it's a feel good movie. He's a positive man. Yeah.
Just a cheese
you think
ball.
Gary's cheesy?
Cheese production. Hey, I love Kurt Warner.
Can we hear Patrick Mahomes on the field with Michelle Tafoya, or do you want to do it in the next segment?
No, we can do it.
I'd like to hear it.
How are you doing? How are y'all doing?
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Patrick, how are you doing?
Well, let's, how are you doing?
Let's hear Patrick Mahomes II on the field with Michelle Tafoya after the win.
Patrick, congratulations. We saw you get a word with Ben there after the game. What did you say to him?
Yeah, I mean, I just told him I had so much respect for him. I've watched him growing up, and the way he plays the game, he competes to the very end, and he did that this whole entire season, and who knows what the future is, but it was great to be here and witness him.
And share this field with him on what very well could be his last game. This was a weird first quarter. Nobody scored. You guys finally find the end zone on an underhand pass to Jerick McKinnon. What changed for you guys?
I think we came back with energy. That first quarter, we were playing tentative. It started with me. I think that when we got in that second quarter, we kind of got back to who we are. And hopefully we keep this momentum going to next week.
Who you are also is a lot of fun plays. The touchdown throw to Allegretti. And then you had Travis Kelce throwing a touchdown pass. How much of that was a product of where you were at that point in the game? How much of it was just, this is where we're going?
Yeah, the one to Allegretti, he's like the fifth option on that play, and they covered everybody else, and he just popped open, so I threw it to him. But the Travis one, we worked all week. It's like going off the plays that when he's running down the middle, and he played a little quarterback at Cincinnati, so we give him a chance here and there.
Yeah, he did. You're moving on. And Travis had told me this week, it's Super Bowl or bust, and we got to win this thing. There's nothing less is acceptable. How do you guys feel about that?
Yeah, we keep that mindset. I mean, when you've been to the Super Bowl the last 2 years, and you walk off that field with a loss last year, you want to go back and get that revenge and get that win. And so for us, we understand it's a hard division. AFC, we've got the Bills coming here this next week, and we're going to play our best football. And so we're just excited for the journey. We'll stay with the process, and I'm glad we're playing at Arrowhead next week.
We'll be watching. Congratulations, Patrick.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm going to laugh about that all day. Daryl LaMonica. Just, you know. I get, because you didn't say, well, you know, I saw this. You tried to sell it. And I like it. I like the fact that you tried to sell it.
Well, I genuinely thought that maybe Tom Brady and Peyton right. Manning had been part of that record, too. I just remember seeing his right. name.
He was trying to get the first answer right.
Yeah, and then he could close the show. Yeah. Oh, really impressive. Whoa!
I bet it was this guy.
How did you know that? Man, in the background, you could hear, all I do is win, 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 no matter what. You know how you hear a certain song and yep. just get forever? I will get chills, and I'll think about that, them playing me on the field at the Super Bowl 2 years ago when the Chiefs won. And tears streaming down my big fat face. I couldn't help it. Lebo.
Why would you want to?
Because your friend Todd harassed me from our seats all the way down the escalator and into the press area. Are you crying? You know. Better not.
That's Todd.
Making fun of me.
Yep. Typical, you know, high school bully.
And then he gave me a hug.
Well, that's nice.
See? You know. I'm calling home to talk to the boys and everyone. I'll never forget that. And Richie's were like, we can't believe it. And like one of the best things I ever had a chance to tell my boys, getting ready, I go, hey, Dad's got to go. I got to go interview the Super Bowl champs. And my voice got, see, I'm getting emotional. Oh, I wish Jake could have been there so he could have run and jumped into his arms. He would have caught me, swung me around. On that note, hey, maybe we can do that at the end of the TV hour. We'll be back after this on Sports Radio 810, WHB, 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the show. You knew it was going to be a wild game, and most of the people that were at the game didn't see this. I tweeted out the quote because as soon as he said it, Susan St. John said, oh my God. I don't even want to think about that. I said, hey, this is Mike Tomlin means business. Listen to what Mike Tomlin said before the game. He was not there to play games. This is what Mike Tomlin said before the game started on NBC.
What will your final message be to your team before you send them out here?
Don't blink. If you're a blinker, cut your eyelids off. You know, this is not going to be for the faint of heart. We understand what type of game we're in. It's going to take a ridiculous effort and 60 minutes of it, and we're excited about it.
Don't blink. If you're a blinker, cut your eyelids off.
I mean, are we all blinkers?
Well, sure, but...
That's great.
But what do you take away from that? If a coach tells you that, does that fire you up, or are you taken aback? Like, wait, hold on here.
I don't know. By the end of the game, I think the Steelers would like those eyelids back so they could close their eyes and not see the scoreboard.
If you remember, Gunther Cunningham
did
not blink.
That's right.
And I was in a very uncomfortable interview room where Whitlock was standing in the back, and I was standing next to Whitlock, and Gunther was very angry about something Whitlock had wrote, and he was making eye contact with Whitlock while he was saying this, and it was hilarious.
And I'll be damned if I'm going to let anybody see me blink.
That's right.
Is there a guy named Duke Fry?
Well, that was not at all the same
I cannot
moment.
That, sorry.
Anything. That's something about the football coaches don't want you blinking.
And I'll be damned if I'm going to let anybody see me blink.
You know?
Right.
Let me ask you the question.
I mean, Mike Tomlin took it to the extreme. Cut your eyelids off. Like, I don't know.
That sounds
and
very
I'll
painful.
Be damned if I'm going to let anybody see me.
And bad for your eye health,
Rocky.
I don't know about that, Mike.
Cut me, Mick.
Right. He's cut him. He didn't cut the whole eyelid off. And
I don't know.
I don't know that. I don't think that's good. But you know, there you are. The Chiefs win it 42-21 over the Pittsburgh Steelers. Man, I just cannot get over how good Jerick McKinnon looked. And yes, I get it. It was, you know, Pittsburgh's run defense is god awful. There's no doubt about that. But not just running the football as a threat in the passing game. I love it. And Nate, we were just talking in the commercial break, you know. He said, keep him healthy. I said, you know, he can't play a full season, but guess what? He don't have to.
Right. I mean, that was Damian Williams, you know. He was never healthy for a full season, but he was healthy for the playoffs when they needed him the most.
You got to get your mind right. If I'm Buffalo, that's a problem. I'm looking on, you know, like, oh, boy. If I'm Buffalo, I'm like, I hope they use the other running backs more than they use that guy.
Just one more thing to worry about.
And did you see his post-game attire? Just looked like a badass in a green jacket.
Yeah, he did.
He was there to kick ass and chew bubble gum, and he was all out of gum. Which means, Jake, he kicked ass. That's what that means. We'll be back after this. This is the Jerick McKinnon Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Mahomes in the gun. There he gets the snap. He fakes the handoff. He pump fakes, and it's a little shovel pass to the five. Caught by McKinnon. Runs with the blocking ahead. A gain of four into the end zone. Touchdown. A shovel pass from Mahomes to the running back McKinnon.
Thank you very much for watching us on 38 The Spot. The show continues. We're going to have some post-game sound coming up at 7:30 from Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Travis Kelce. We're going to talk to Adam Teicher at 8:05. We'll talk to Bill Moss at 9:05. Gary Lezak, we have the forecast thrown in there. Up next, we're going to talk to Todd Lebo. And right now, I'm going to kiss this cardboard stand-up of Travis Kelce.
Come here, you big lug.
Wow. That was an aggressive kiss.